Chapter 119. Sent to his account with heaven, to prepare for the retribution which must come, and which is stealing on you now I humbly before you, and in the agony of supplication in which you see me, beseech that you will let me make atonement. Apostrophe, what is the meaning of your canting words? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he answered roughly. Speak so that I may understand you. Apostrophe, I will, apostrophe, she answered. I desire to. Bear with me for a moment more. The hand of him who set his curse on murder is heavy on us now. You cannot doubt it. Our son, our innocent boy, on whom his anger fell before his birth, is in this place in peril of his life brought here by your guilt. Yes, by that alone, as heaven sees and knows, for he has been led astray in the darkness of his intellect, and that is the terrible consequence of your crime. Apostrophe, if you come, woman-like, to load me with reproaches, apostrophe, he muttered, again endeavoring to break away. I do not. I have a different purpose. You must hear it. If not tonight, tomorrow, if not tomorrow, at another time. You must hear it. Husband, escape is hopeless, impossible. Apostrophe, you tell me so, do you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said, raising his manacled hand, and shaking it. You. Apostrophe, yes, apostrophe, she said, with indescribable earnestness. But why? Apostrophe, to make me easy in this jail. To make the time twixt this and death pass pleasantly. For my good, yes, for my good, of course, apostrophe, he said, grinding his teeth, and smiling at her with a livid face. Not to load you with reproaches, apostrophe, she replied. Not to aggravate the tortures and miseries of your condition, not to give you one hard word, but to restore you to peace and hope. Husband, dear husband, if you will, but confess this dreadful crime. If you will, but implore forgiveness of heaven, and of those whom you have wronged on earth, if you will dismiss these vain uneasy thoughts, which never can be realized, and will rely on penitence, and on the truth, I promise you, in the great name of the Creator, whose image you have defaced, that he will comfort and console you. And for myself, apostrophe, she cried, clasping her hands, and looking upward, I swear before him, as he knows my heart, and reads it now, that from that hour I will love and cherish you as I did of old, and watch you night and day in the short interval that will remain to us, and soothe you with my truest love and duty, and pray with you, that one threatening judgment may be arrested, and that our boy may be spared to bless God, in his poor way, in the free air and light. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he fell back and gazed at her, while she poured out these words, as though he were for a moment awed by her manner, and knew not what to do. But anger and fear soon got the mastery of him, and he spurned her from him. Begin. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he cried. Leave me. You plot, do you? You plot to get speech with me, and let them know I am the man they say I am. A curse on you, and on your boy. Apostrophe, on him the curse has already fallen, apostrophe, she replied, wringing her hands. Let it fall heavier. Let it fall on one and all. I hate you both. The worst has come to me. The only comfort that I seek, or I can have, will be the knowledge that it comes to you. Now go. Apostrophe, she would have urged him gently, even then, but he menaced her with his chain. I say go, I say it for the last time. The gallows has me in its grasp, and it is a black phantom that may urge me on to something more. Begin. I curse the hour that I was born, the man I slew, and all the living world. Apostrophe, apostrophe, in a paroxysm of wrath, and terror, and the fear of death, he broke from her, and rushed into the darkness of his cell, where he cast himself jangling down upon the stone floor, and smote it with his ironed hands. The man returned to lock the dungeon door, and having done so, carried her away. On that warm, balmy night in June, there were glad faces and light hearts in all quarters of the town, and sleep, banished by the late horrors, was doubly welcomed. On that night, families made merry in their houses, and greeted each other on the common danger they had escaped, and those who had been denounced, ventured into the streets, and they who had been plundered, got good shelter. Even the timorous Lord Mayor, who was summoned, that night before the Privy Council, to answer for his conduct, came back contented, observing to all his friends, that he had got off very well with a reprimand, and repeating with huge satisfaction his memorable defense before the council, that such was his temerity, he thought death would have been his portion. Apostrophe on that night too, more of the scattered remnants of the mob, were traced to their lurking places, and taken, and in the hospitals, and deep among the ruins they had made, and in the ditches, and fields, many unshrouded wretches lay dead. Envied by those who had been active in the disturbances, and who pillowed their doomed heads in the temporary jails. And in the tower, in a dreary room whose thick stone walls shut out the hum of life, and made a stillness which the records left by former prisoners with those silent witnesses seemed to deepen and intensify, remorseful for every act that had been done by every man among the cruel crowd, feeling for the time their guilt his own, and their lives put in peril by himself, and finding, amidst such reflections, little comfort in fanaticism, or in his fancied call, sat the unhappy author of all Lord George Gordon. He had been made prisoner that evening. "If you are sure it's me you want," apostrophe he said to the officers, who waited outside with the warrant for his arrest on a charge of high treason, "I am ready to accompany you," apostrophe which he did without resistance. He was conducted first before the Privy Council, and afterwards to the Horse Guards, and then was taken by way of Westminster Bridge, and back over London Bridge, for the purpose of avoiding the main streets, to the Tower, under the strongest guard ever known to enter its gates with a single prisoner. Of all his 40,000 men, not one remained to bear him company. Friends, dependents, followers, none were there. His fawning secretary had played the traitor, and he whose weakness had been goaded and urged on by so many for their own purposes, was desolate and alone. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.